You have questions. Find your answers at starspsychics.com.
Hello, I'm Natalie, owner of starspsychics.com. I am dedicated to providing affordable access to spiritual advisors. Here are two satisfied clients who will tell you what it's like to work with me.
Quoting Jackie.
It's a comfortable site. Everybody is so friendly. They treat you like family.
Barb added this about Natalie.
She's a kind and caring person who gives accurate readings.
You have questions? Find your answers today at starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Natalie, also known as Starscast, and I want to welcome everybody tonight. We have a very special guest, and I will bring her in a moment. But first, I want to let everybody know about the magazine. It is up. It went up. Oh, I had to kind of do it in slow motion because we had a death in the family, not a real close relative, but nonetheless, I was in charge of making all the calls. And, you know, what happens with Natalie is that when they get me on the phone, they ask all these questions. They want to know about everything that's going on. So, I mean, it just put me back. But anyways, I got it all up. The last thing went up yesterday, and which is late for me. I'm not usually like that. But, you know, things happen that we are, that's out of our control. But nonetheless, I was determined to get it all up. Anyways, this issue, if you go to it, mysticlivingtoday.com, I keep saying this every week, but this is the largest, no doubt in my mind. I mean, I never did so much. And can figure it all out, right? Okay, she's running behind and she's got all this extra to do. But, you know, when you're under the gun, so to speak, like that, you sometimes do your very best. And I took time away. I had my lunch. I came back to the computer. You know, I didn't drive myself into the ground like sometimes I do and go at warp speed. But it all got up, and I'm very proud of it. So please take a look at it. My guest today has written for it. I believe it was the month before she did. She put some stuff in. And I want to also tell you, I'm changing gears here, but I want to also tell you about starspsychics.com, stars with a Z. Now, we were pretty slow there for a while, but now it's just picked up beautifully. As a matter of fact, business is like it was about 8 months ago, if you can believe that. I mean, I sat here and I watched and I thought, oh, this is not good, you know. But I had faith, I believed, and you know me, I never give up. So, without further ado, I'm going to bring in my beautiful guest. She's a medium and an author, and she's a healer, and I want to bring in Carol Obley. Carol, how are you tonight?
Wonderful. Hi, Natalie. Thank you so much for having me as a guest.
Oh, my pleasure, my honor, as we just talked a little bit before about that. Yeah, you know, I have all kinds of people that I end up talking, and people say, well, do you interview them? Well, I don't really have a Q&A. I mean, I don't have questions and answers. It's just me being inquisitive, and I bring out the best, and I will bring out the best in lovely Carol. And anyways, let's get started. I have your site up here, soulvisions.net. If everybody would like to go there, you're going to see everything about this lovely lady, and you're going to look at her picture, and she's in this beautiful purple. It's exquisite. It's just perfect for her with her pretty hair. Just makes her look so beautiful. And you'll see her there, all about what she's done, all of her books. But we're going to get started on what she has done and how she got started. Now, Carol, explain kind of what you do. What, and I guess I want to ask you to start at the beginning. Did things just come to you because you're a medium? Okay. Now, are you also clairaudient, clairvoyant? How does that work for those who might not understand what a medium is?
Yes. A medium is a person who is sensitive to non-physical energy and is somebody. People have asked me this in many interviews. What, you know, how long have I been doing this? Did I know that I had the ability when I was a child? And the answer to that is no. In fact, I was a very anxious and fearful child, ironically. And I write very openly and honestly in my books about that. I really did not start, even though I was born with the sensitivity, it was kind of undeveloped until my mid to late 30s. And like some others that I've been acquainted with or have read their biographies and their books, I had sort of a catastrophic event that occurred that jolted me onto this pathway. And that event was a fire with the business that I was running at the time. And so what happened was I was unable to restart this business. And for about 9 months to a year, I floundered. I had no clue what I was going to do with my life. And after that, I got a phone call from a friend who is no longer with me, but unfortunately she has crossed over. But she led me to a metaphysical center. And from there, I started taking many classes with hands-on healing, spiritual healing. I am also a Reiki master. It's an extremely useful hands-on healing energy. And I also have studied mediumship for many, many years. So that's kind of my story. I'm sort of different in that when I was young, and even during my teens and my 20s and, you know, my early 30s, I had no clue whatsoever that I was going to be onto this pathway. In fact, I really would have thought that somebody was a little bit out of their mind if they would have told me that I would be doing this and writing books and doing thousands of readings for people. So I'm as surprised as ever. I've been surprised. But by the same token, I'm exceedingly grateful and very blessed to connect with people simply acting as a conduit and a bridge for those in spirit and those sitters or receivers of the readings who connect with me.
What was the first thing that happened to you? I mean, did you connect the first time, or what happened to you the first time that kind of took you aback and you said, well, what is this? What is going on? I mean, were you shocked? I mean, what happened to you? How did you know what this was? I mean, you took these classes, so you kind of, I guess you kind of figured it out, but it led you on your path, right? I mean, it started you.
Yes.
You learned everything about it so that when it happened, you weren't surprised. I mean, at least you might have been a little surprised thinking, me? I'm going to be doing this? But at least you had some background. You weren't totally in the dark with it. I mean, if it happened to me, it would be okay because I've been going through all of this with so many people. You know, we'll talk a little bit about the group that I helped to run back in Michigan. But I think when you're exposed through other means, you get enlightened a little bit. But not everybody is like you, though. Not everybody is that gifted, I should say, or allowed to tap into those who have passed, really and truly, because that, to me, is very, very special. The first time it happened.
It's a calling. And
yeah,
I will tell you that, and I don't in any way, first off, I never personally, and I'm not offended by the word gifted at all, but I don't personally use that term about myself because I feel that it sets one on a pedestal in some way.
Sure.
So I never use that. I refer to it as a skill. It's something definitely that I know intuitively I've done in prior incarnations. And when I first, and in fact, my new book, Wisdom from the Spirit World, which was just released in September of 2020, I opened the book by describing the anxiety and fear I had when I sat down at Delphi University in Georgia when I did my very first reading. And, you know, we had to do this in order to become certified. So I try to describe that as accurately as what was racing through my mind when I sat down to read my very first person. And, you know, I did three people that day, And then I came home and immediately did 15. We only needed 3 in order to be certified. I did 15, of course, to prove to myself that I could really do this. So, but in the beginning, I have to say, Natalie, I was not making connections with the spirit world. I was really reading more on a psychic level, which is reading the energy field of people, mm-hmm. as opposed to actually receiving thought impressions and communication from those in spirit. So that's how I really began, in that I was reading, you know, basically the energy around people with career and finance and relationships. And from there, you know, the program kind of self-upgraded in that I started sensing, you know, people's loved ones and pets in spirit. So it's been an evolving process. And anyone who is genuine in mediumship will tell you that it's constantly an upgrading program with the sensitivity that develops through, you mentioned them, the 3 main inner senses, and that's clairaudience, which is listening, clairvoyance, which is seeing, and clairsentience, which is feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also clairgustience, by the way, and that's smelling or tasting,
yes.
through the spiritual senses. So those are always being refined. And I really, after doing this work for almost 3 decades, I really do not believe that a person can rest on their laurels with this type of work. You constantly need to refine, and you constantly need to work with integrity. And it is a work of service for, you know, for the greater good of the people who are attracted to you.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't need to sit in your chair and sink in and say, well, I can do this, this, and this, and I'm not going to look for improvement. I'm just going to be happy with, like you said, rest on your laurels. I'm just going to continue on with what I know and what I do. Okay, so have you ever had somebody that you were supposed to read for that you really couldn't?
Yes. And if there's one thing that I really cherish, it's honesty. Honesty and integrity and ethics. And
mm-hmm.
so I'm very honest about in all of my writings. None of them are embellished. And when I do interviews in media, I'm very honest in these as well. I could probably count on one hand out of over 11,000 readings people that I could not read. And that is quite honest. But there are people who, for one reason or another, are not connecting with me, or they're overly defensive, perhaps overly skeptical, or more commonly, they come with an agenda, meaning, well, if it's really my mother, if it's really my child,
yeah.
or whoever, they're going to say this.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
sometimes they will say that. But other times they say other things that are substantiated through evidence, meaning facts. So, yes, there have been a few people. And, you know, sometimes you just say, I'm sorry, this isn't working out. You know,
right.
It's just not,
exactly.
it's not happening.
Yeah, I was curious. I assumed, you know, that you had... I started off as an astrologer, and which was not tough because you use facts, you have the charts, but then I went off into something else with it, developed my own card deck, and then I just kind of, you know, I used to study the charts, and then finally, after you do so many, I sat down and I thought, well, I don't need to go through all this. I mean, I know what this is saying, and I know the answer. They have a question, I'll go 4 houses away, and there's the answer. And that was because I think when you get comfy in the tools that you're using, and I mean, I never had any problems, but you see, astrology is more factual. I mean, I can say, well, your Venus is here, so that's what this is going to mean. If it's in the 7th house, oh, nice romance, or whatever, you know. So, but like you, it's like treading water, and you just never know. And like you said, there are people out there who will try to test you. They will come with an attitude and say,
Really?
I don't believe she can do this. She's not going to connect with so-and-so. I'm not going to get anything out of it. Well, that's really, you know, that's tough. That's tough.
It has been tough, but with those sorts of circumstances. However, the immense, immense blessings of people who are open and who are receptive to spirit and who obtain healing from not me, never me, but through my conduit. Again, this is about being a bridge. The connection is between that person, the sitter of the reading, and their loved one, whether that's a human loved one or a pet. Mainly I do a lot of human mediumship, but pets come into the readings as well. I don't consider myself a pet communicator per se. However, I have studied it. And by the way, I have studied astrology for at least a decade, and I study it daily. And I do karmic astrology readings, which are fascinating. So I have a great appreciation for astrology, and talk about complexity. Astrology is highly complex.
Yes, it is. But most times when you did what I did is they wanted to know how, when, and why. They really didn't care about the signs. They didn't care about the trines, the conjunctions, nothing. They just, if they had an answer about a guy or a marriage or a job or whatever, well, when is this going to happen? You know, and how?
Yes.
And, you know, and all that. People, and then there are those like me. I'm more inquisitive. I pay attention to detail. Like if I came to you, if I came to you, it would be easy. I would be a piece of cake for you because I'm like an open book and I'm a total believer, of course, because of the work that I've done. So there would be no tricks from me. There would be none of that. I mean, I would be just sit there and I don't even know what I would ask. But anyways, do they come with specific questions or they want to have you reach a loved one? Or?
Yeah. Well, I do a lot of life guide. I call them life guidance sorts of readings, and those are issues more pertaining to direction. And I'll tell you, this past year of 2020, I have been inundated with people who are at transformational points. They're at pivotal points because of the massive transformation that we've been going through collectively. And so I do a lot of those. I specialize in evidential mediumship, but I also have picked up a lot of clients have been drawn to these karmic astrology readings, wanting to know, for example, why does this particular karma seem to follow me around? Why do I have problems with this? What about that? And where does trauma come from? So I look at all of that stuff in the natal chart and also with transits, because we know that the planets aren't stationary. They're always moving. And how those are aspecting natal planets and all of that. The karmic astrology readings are closely related to something that happened to me, interestingly, long ago. And when I would be sitting with people just doing more of the psychic type of readings, I started to see scenes that were appearing above the sitter's right shoulder. And so I thought, what the heck is that? And I would describe it to the person, and they would say, oh, that's funny. I've always been drawn to that culture, or I've always felt that way, or I've always, felt an affinity with, say, for example, Native American energies or, beliefs and all of that. So then I discovered what I was picking up was, and what I was reading was, these things called the Akashic Files. And in Wisdom from the Spirit World, I write a whole chapter on these, and these things called blueprints, or the plans that the soul makes for living before physical incarnation. So then I transitioned into helping people with those sorts of readings, with the Akashic Files, and not for entertainment, but to help people understand this has been a karmic issue. These are perhaps some avenues that you can take to heal that and to work with it and to work through it and to evolve through that particular issue.
And that's so true, because it's almost like if you know where you were before, you'll know what to do now. And that, like everybody has things that they seem to encounter in their life and they think, gee, why can't this get better? What is going on here? Why do I always keep falling into this trap? Like men and women in relationships, they always pick the wrong one. Or they don't really pick the wrong one. They're attracted to the wrong one a lot of times, but you get a lot of relationship. I know what I want to ask you. Do you get couples that come in for a reading, or do you not approve of that? Do you like to do them separately?
No, I do a lot of couples readings, but most of the time those are mediumship readings, meaning that they want to connect with people in spirit.
Yeah.
And then there's two different families there, obviously. I've done, Natalie, a lot of family and group readings. One of the places I really shine, and it's been difficult this past year, is with gallery mediumship, meaning standing up in front of a group and giving readings like that. I really love doing that because it's so challenging.
Well, I love
to be challenged, and have done many years of radio readings, many, many years of that kind of thing. So I don't know what's next. Another book, I'm sure. I've done all sorts of readings, and now most of them are by phone. I love phone readings because they're very pure in that I have nothing to go on. I sit here in my home office and stare at a blank wall when I'm giving readings. So clairvoyance really has an opportunity to arise in the moment. And I have no body language. I have nothing to go on except what spirit is telling me.
And that's taken
a long time.
It's very pure that way. It really, really is. It really, really is. That's amazing.
Yeah, I actually prefer phone readings. I've had people say, do you connect through Zoom or, you know, Skype? I can. But truthfully, I find the camera a little bit distracting. I do that for international people because, you know, it would be for the phone to save on a phone bill. And I have no problem doing that. I prefer audio only, although I can do the video as well. So it's wonderful work. It requires a lot of dedication, just like anything else. It's a commitment, and it is a life of service to help people. And I'm sure that, you know, you've dedicated yourself to that as well. And by the way, I have a great admiration for you of maintaining your e-zine. That is a lot of work.
Thank you.
I'm so grateful that people like you have that sort of dedication to get, writings out that others can benefit from.
I appreciate that, and it means a lot coming from you. You know, I started it in 1999. Nothing like it is today, though. I mean, nothing. I mean, it was like I'd have to beg people for things to put in it. You know, like, oh, do you have something for me to do? I'll do a sun sign. Or, you know what I'm saying? I was just trying to fill it up with a few things. And over the years, I have people all over the world and I hear beautiful things, and that makes me happy. Somebody said it's spiritual food for the world. That's what I do. And I
there you go.
I love it. Mm-hmm. No, I really love it. I mean, it's a passion. I mean, like this last issue, it was huge. every month I say to everybody on the air, oh, this one is the biggest. No, nope, this is the biggest. Because I found that I had people that had contacted me months ago, oh, Natalie, can you put this in? Oh, can you put this in? And then I, you know, I have some of my, the publicists that will send me, you know, like Gavin and all of them, they'll send me people, any publicists that I have, 3, 4, 5 press releases, and I put them all in. I mean, if I'm not tired and exhausted, I put them in because I feel that it's important. And I give my very best. I have people from China, India.
Yeah,
I have somebody.
The internet's an amazing thing.
Oh, and I'm, you know, in the interviews, Carol, I think this is really, you know, I mean, like what you do, I would love to be able to do what you do. But can you imagine how, oh, my head would be so jammed with stuff. You know, I've been told that before. Oh, Natalie, you don't want to do all of that. You just do what you keep, you know, what you're doing, and it's good for you, but I'm doing something for the world. And I like to think of it as that I am doing something for the world. I'm showing people who you are. I mean, otherwise,
exactly.
Unless they go on Facebook or Instagram or someplace like that, they're not going to know who you are, and they have to seek you out. But at least I can talk about people and talk to them and introduce, like you, with all of the things that you can do, all the modalities. I just think it's wonderful. But thank you very much for the compliment. That's very nice.
You're welcome.
Very nice of you. That's very nice. Yeah. It's nice to hear things like that. You know, I do it out of the goodness of inside of me. I don't get paid for it. I just do it. And I'm not going to stop. I love it. I believe in it. And you just kind of put the frosting on the cake. If I had any doubts, I don't have them now. No, I don't have them at all. Nah, not at all. Okay, so you do couples, and you do pets. I'm sure of that, right? I think you mentioned that you do pets. Tell us about your book. This last one that you just put out.
Yeah, Wisdom from the Spirit World. There is a rather long subtitle, but it's about life teachings. When I woke up two and a half years ago in July, and boom, there it was. This is what you're going to write about, because there was 5 years between my books. This is the fourth. And I had no clue what I was going to be writing about. I wake up one morning, there it is. You need to share with people themes that have come through in multiple readings. So I sat down at my computer and made the outline, and there are about 8 or 10 of them in this book, and they are themes that I have heard through multiple countless readings. And so each chapter in the middle section of this book, there are 3 sections in the book. In the middle section, I get into the teachings. And they go from very simple, for example, there is an afterlife. That sounds really simplistic. But that is a lesson, that there is indeed a spirit world that we go to when we leave this physical plane. Up until one of the final lessons is, our wounds do not diminish the light within us. And there have been many readings, as you can imagine, of people who, for example, I've done a lot of readings with people who have lost children or parents or grandchildren or siblings to the opioid addiction. And so that gets into family readings or family patterns that have come down the line, and giving people hope that something that has been incredibly tragic, like losing someone to an overdose, there can be a great opportunity within that for awakening, for spiritual evolution, and to reach out and help others who have experienced the same thing. So this book is about the power that is within everybody with these things called blueprints, what you've come here to do, the particular service pathway that your soul has chosen, the power of knowing the Akashic Files, the lessons themselves. And then the third section, Natalie, is about practical ways that people can merge their personality with their soul consciousness to offer a contribution to the world. So your statement about this is what I do, this is what I like to offer to the world,
mm-hmm.
That is exactly what I discuss in this third section, because there's so many people that ask the number one question. The number one question I have been asked the most in readings is, what is my purpose? Above everything else, that is the most commonly asked question. So I knew that in this book I really had to address that, to give people signposts, not to answer the question, but to hopefully provide some signposts in the journey of, you know, spiritual evolution, so that people can go, okay, this is something that is not complicated. It's something that I can discover within myself. Nobody can really tell us what our purpose is. That is a sacred thing that is encoded in our own soul. And, you know, so I felt it was very important to include that. And then also, importantly in this book, I discuss in depth forgiveness and how forgiveness is a cornerstone to healing and also to our own spiritual journey. So that is something that I felt when I sat down to write this book that was very important for people to understand. There's many people who have unfinished emotional business with people who've crossed over. And
yeah.
I went in depth with that in my third book, Soul to Soul Connections. But I also bring it up in this book, too, in Wisdom from the Spirit World, because people can go for years and they can feel stuck with anger or guilt or remorse. You know, all sorts of things. And so forgiveness really liberates us from carrying that and from carrying the past.
That's true, because I had to forgive my mother. I often talk about my childhood. You know, when I was a little girl, I was so alone. I was alone. I was an only child. And, I mean, you know, I had clothes and food, nothing extravaganza, even though I was an only child, but I was kind of like, not, I don't want to say ignored. My mother just had an agenda for herself. She was the oldest of 10, and she wanted to make something of herself. And she did. But in the process, she put me off to the side. And I resented that for a really long time, not even recently. And I had to sit down and kind of talk to her and say, you know, I forgive you. I realize now what you had to do for you. And, you know, a lot of it was reflected upon me, but you weren't really doing it to me. It was how I perceived it. It was, but in a sense, Carol, what it did, I mean, I can just do so many things. I mean, at one time, and she could do the, I mean, I picked up things from her. She was a great leader. She was a leader in the insurance world. And she, I didn't appreciate her then. You know, I was mad at her after I got married and all of that, my life, all that past. I felt that she helped me not to be a stand on your feet kind of girl. You know, do it for yourself. I wasn't like that. I leaned upon people. I because I didn't get it from her, I guess, and that's what
mm-hmm.
I was thinking. So it was not too long ago, even this year, this past year, that I finally told her that I forgave her, that it was wrong of me to resent her for what she wanted. I mean, she wanted some things in her life, too. And here I was, this little brat. I wasn't really a brat. I was wonderful. I mean, I was a good kid. But, you know, I'm saying that as a word, quote-unquote, brat. I want it for me. I want, you know, everybody said, oh, you're an only child. You should have everything. Well, I didn't. I didn't have anything. Birthday party.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought this up about sitting down. And even though Mom is in the spirit world, if there's one thing I've learned through giving thousands of readings, it's this. Those in spirit know about our thoughts and feelings. There is not a disconnect. By the way, another lesson that I mention in this book, another teaching, is the bond of love is eternal. So our relationships are eternal. And it's interesting that you brought this up about sitting down and talking to your mom just as if she was sitting across from you.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
advocate that people do that. In fact, I had even taught a workshop up at Lilydale, a big spiritualist community in New York, where I suggested that to people, that they bring in a photo to this workshop and they write a letter to that person. And the photo is a means to connect with that person. It's their essence. And to speak to them as if they were sitting directly across from you, because I can assure you and your listeners that they are very much aware of what we're going through, what our life is like, what's going on in the family, and what is going on specifically with our thoughts and emotions. So I'm glad to hear that you did that. And for those who are listening that might have unfinished business with people in spirit, it's not too late to free yourself from that. And, you know, it's very cathartic even to bring it down onto paper. Sometimes, you know, I've done little ceremonies. I take the paper outside and burn it. It's a form of release, transformation. So it is possible to gain peace where there wasn't any peace before, and that's through the power of forgiveness.
She taught me to stand on my 2 feet, only I didn't know it at the time. But she was very bossy. She was, I don't know, it was hard. She was just Italian, and she had some old ways, and you know, Carol, I didn't have birthday parties, Christmas. I didn't. When I look back, you know, when I talk to my granddaughter about it, she says, "Why did she do that to you?" I said, "Well, I think because she didn't have it. She didn't know how to handle it. I don't really know. She came from 10. There were 10 kids. She was the oldest." And I said, "I don't know. I really can't tell you." And she, you know what she said to me? She said, "Didn't it hurt you?" I said, "Well, you know, I didn't think about it. I just kind of walked away. Like, you know, it wasn't on my mind, you know." But when I look back at my life with her, like I said, she was very, very connected with her work. In the insurance world, she was very prominent. But you see, that's what she wanted. She wanted that because she didn't have anything at home. She couldn't finish high school. She couldn't finish grade school. She had to go out and work. That's what they did. And I think I was just a total, well, my aunt told me later after she passed that she said she was like mortified that she was going to have a child because she knew it was going to put her back time when she was on this roll with her career, you know. And my aunt ended up taking care of me. But I learned stuff from her. And even my late husband, here's another one who was bossy. I went from the frying pan to the fire. But I forgive him. He actually was worse than my mother. But, you know, I recently talked to him. And I told him, you know, I understand that was your way. He was very old-fashioned. And I said, I forgive you. I forgive you. I am not going to let anything stop me from what I'm doing because I have a purpose and I know what I'm doing is right. And I know he's probably very proud of me because he taught me how to use my first computer. And I have 3 monitors in front of me. That's how adept I am at it. I mean, I'm really good. You know,
I think where people get messed up with forgiveness, and I explain this in the book, people sometimes think that forgiveness means that they're okaying what was done. If there was hurt, if there was abuse,
oh, no,
if there was
neglect.
Oh, no, I wasn't
okaying nothing with him.
And it, absolutely, it does not mean that. What forgiveness, and I'm speaking from a spiritual sense here, in a spiritual manner, it, what it really means is to release the past so that it's not burdening you. And it's really probably, forgiveness is probably the most selfish thing that we'll do. It sounds that as if it wouldn't be, but you have to do it for you, that you're no longer going to carry that and let it define you. And so I give examples of that in this book and, you know, really clarify what forgiveness means in a spiritual sense, or how I've experienced it through many, many sessions working with people and helping them to come to a peace. And again, that doesn't mean that the person wasn't wrong. It doesn't mean any of that. It means we make a conscious choice in the moment to not carry that in any longer and to not identify with it. Because, you know, what we identify with, we let define us in some way.
Exactly.
And there's a great danger in that. You know, people who identify as victims, it's a very disempowering mentality to take on. The truth is that everybody, every soul has equal ability and is very capable of, you know, we're all capable of making our own way. So it takes some type of suffering, I think, like you went through, like I've gone through, like many of the listeners, I'm sure, have gone through. It takes some sort of suffering for us to awaken and say, you know what, this is hurting me.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I have the power within me. And by the way, that's another lesson is, the power of choice defines the quality of our lives, and we all own the power of choice. So you made a choice to sit down, talk to your mom, talk to your late husband.
Yep.
And you probably feel, as a consequence, you probably feel a lot freer because of
right.
that.
Right, you probably feel
more
better. Oh, yeah. And it's part of, you know, the forgiveness, you know, and it had a long-term effect on me, you know, growing up, and I would see everybody who came from little larger families, and their life just seemed to be so much better, and I was off alone all the time. If kids walked across in front of my house, my girlfriends, they didn't want to come and get me. You know, Maya, we just discussed, you know, before we went on the air, you know, she asked me, she said, what'd you do? And I said, well, I just turned around and I listened to my music in my bedroom, or I read, or I kind of like daydreamed. I kind of created something in my mind, like I would just think. And she said, she told me, she said, you know what's amazing? And I said, no. She said that you didn't turn out to be a monster because you should be selfish, self-centered. You should be all of those things, but you're not. You're like the opposite. I said, oh, nah, not at all. And I mean, I don't get stepped on, but you know what I'm saying. I'm very giving. I'm very understanding, and at least I try to be as much as I can. But obviously what both of them did in my world, once I grew up and I found my way, you know, I have three sites, and I have, you know, Stars, and then I have the magazine, and then I have Planet Stars. I look back at them, and I'll think, wow, you did all this? I mean, to me, it's like, oh, that's nothing. That I need to do more. There's got to be more.
It sounds like you've really found your purpose. And, you know, that really brings up another point that, when we have a zest and a passion for what we're doing, no, it can be anything, working in healthcare, but, you know, working in sales, doing what you do, what I do, someone, you know, in some way who's teaching, those are all equal and important purposes. And when we find that calling that really speaks to our soul, it becomes not even work. It becomes a passion. And mm-hmm. that's how I feel about what I'm doing. Yeah, there's been aspects that have been very difficult, just like with you, I'm sure. But by and large, most of it I absolutely love to do. And, you know, so that's, if people are listening that you find, like, what am I supposed to be doing in life? And why is it so difficult for me to find that? Ask yourself this question. What would I do all day long, even if I didn't get paid for it, that brings me a lot of joy? And that is really...
I tell my son exactly that. I tell him that.
That is a clue to purpose.
Yes, he said, you don't get paid for this. Why do you do it? I said, because it makes me feel really good, and there's a purpose. And I said, what would I be doing, eating chocolates and watching TV all day? No.
Right.
No. I could not put this aside. And even like when Stars was really, really slow, oh, no, I have my little talks with God every single day. No, this is not going to knock me over. No, I won't allow it. I know what I'm supposed to be doing, and I know that all of this is for the good. All of this is for the good. And that's how I feel. That's how I keep, you know, I've had really bad days, though, and I have somebody listening. She'll tell you. I have really bad days. When they're bad, they're really bad. I should not even get on the computer. But I go and I meditate, and it picks me up, or I sleep, have a good sleep the night before, you know, the next day I wake up, and it's like, oh, okay, now I know. And that feeling is gone, and that's no joke. And I, like you, Carol, look what we do. I mean, what you do and what I do. I mean, I don't really do readings anymore. I really don't. My son says, why don't you go on your own site? Because I don't want to. I want everybody to use that platform and for themselves. It was not made for me. I made it for everybody else. And I am right now in the process, and I started today, as I want to do the magazine in a real magazine, the e-zine in a real magazine style. In other words, I want it to be on my site, and you click the corner, and it flips a page, and it's got a table of contents, and it's got what I can do. My wheels are turning. Sometimes I can be so creative, I have to stop myself, because I think that's where I'm supposed to be going now. I wasn't feeling really good. I didn't have anything wrong with me. It was just... oh, I don't know. You know, it's not even staying at home, Carol. I mean, that's what I do. That's my work. I work from the computer. And so it's not a bad thing for me. Some people, it's terrible that they have to stay home. But I just, you know, I put it aside, and then today I was very refreshed. Like, I know I have to get to this. It's going to be a challenge. I love to learn. And it's really funny, and I want people to know this. I found this place that sells the software, but they have all of these agents that are willing to answer any dumb little question you might have. So what I do is I play I don't play stupid, but I play like, oh, I really don't know how to do this. Can you show me? And it works. But that's how I get my good answers, instead of them thinking I know it all. Because then they're going to skip over the process, and I don't want them to do that. I want to know from the beginning what I do. And I think I found the one that I'm probably going to buy. But it's a matter of making the templates and putting, like, say you submit an article to me and your picture and your book and all the outs. I've just got it in my head how it's going to look. But you know what, Carol? Sometimes when we realize what we really love to do, like this for me, is that you really go off into this world of, wow, I can do this, and then I can add this, and I can add, that's what I'm doing. I want to do history. I want to do people from, I want to interview or not even interview, get articles from people from other countries. I already do. China and all of India, all over the world, Abu Dhabi, all of them. I have tons of them, Spain. But I want to do, I want to designate a space for them specifically. Maybe about, not even just about them, but where they came from, a country. Because I know so many people from so many countries. And I thought that would be a great asset because a lot of people don't even know what it's like to be in another country. They have no clue. They have no clue at all. And they may never get there. So this has just opened up another world. It's kind of like, oh, God, here she goes. You know, she's doing all this stuff. But it makes me smile. It makes me smile inside. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing that you can – you feel good about yourself, don't you, Carol?
I do, but I'm always looking at – when we look at how we can serve – what we're offering instead of what do I get from it or,
right.
you know, just the financial end, of course. Anyone who's successful, I feel, is always looking at how will this benefit the clients or the people who are reading this or, you know, how is this going to benefit others? So, yes, from
right.
that standpoint, because it's so much bigger than our little mind, than the rational mind. And that's the value of intuition, too, is following your intuition. I hear a whole bunch of faith and determination and trust coming from you in following your heart. And I think that sometimes people, intuition is underrated. We really need to give more credence to that, to following our heart. It may not make sense rationally. I can't tell you how many times I've gone against my intuition, and then I find out, you know, boy, I wished I would have done that, you know, followed my intuition. So
exactly.
This was more in the old days. But I think people need to realize that and to trust. It really involves a process of trusting as far as finding your place. And it's never in our timing. It's always in divine timing. I tell people that all the time. You mentioned about people wanting to know when, and that is another very common question, more so in psychic-type readings. You know, when is that going to happen? Well, you know, I always tell people, you have this little thing called free will. And so part of it is dependent upon, when is dependent upon, you know, you laying the groundwork and you actually putting the intent, the rocket fuel behind it to make it happen. So all of that is really, really important. And you will know when you are in the flow or in, you know, I'm a student of Eckhart Tolle's, the great, I consider him a great spiritual teacher. He talks about being in presence, presence meaning the moment, you know, right here, right now.
Right.
And I think we get too wrapped up in, like, well, when is that going to happen? And instead of paying attention to, okay, right now, I put one foot in front of the other, and this is what I need to do. And, you know, I'm a great advocate as well of one day at a time. That's a 12-step slogan. But I think it's very useful for anybody to live one day at a time because – we only have so much energy. We have, you know, there's only so much we can do in a 24-hour period. So it's very important, and I had to discover that the hard way through a lot of suffering, through anxiety, through mindfulness. And mindfulness is being here now, not in tomorrow, not in yesterday, but now. So life seems to go much easier for me living that way.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I found, too, I take longer to do, like, the e-zine. I have to now because it's so big. But, I mean, I used to be able to do it in one day, and I would not kill myself, but, I mean, I would really work hard at it. I mean, 12, 14 hours, I'd have dinner, and then I'd be back at it again because it was, you know, the pictures, the links, and sending it to whoever sent it to me to approve and all of that kind of stuff. You know, it's not just a simple copy and paste and throw it in. That I put it into another editor before I put it into the magazine. So it's a process. Now I start earlier. I got smarter. And if I need a break, I take a break. And even the work that I do outside of that, I'm more disciplined with my time. I try not to, because when you sit in front of your work like this all the time, it's going in your head constantly. You're looking at all these words constantly. I try to break away from it. I think it's you get refreshed. I know I do.
I just have to.
But it took me a long time, Carol, to figure it out. I mean, I was like on this mission, you know. Like I said, warp speed for me. But I don't just do one thing. I'm juggling other things. I multitask really well, but I was overdoing, I think, and it was causing me to be stressed, and I didn't even know it until I backed away and took some time and just, okay, take some deep breaths, and you want to watch a movie, go watch a movie. You want to read, go read. Nobody's telling you what to do. This is yours. You're in the driver's seat. This is you. And I think you have to do that, too. You have to take time for self. And then maybe you can appreciate things, too, a little bit more in your life. But, you know, it's a shame. I learned this, just all of this, mostly recently. I guess there's a reason for it. I just feel that you have to take time for yourself and set time aside. Even if you don't want to do anything, go sit out. I mean, I'm in South Carolina. So when it gets nice, I can sit outside, which is not too much further, though I have to wait weather-wise. I can go sit outside and just listen to the birds and watch the trees, and I have tons of them, and just listen and be quiet in the moment, and that's what I can do. But I can do that in the house, too. I'm really good at that. But you know what else does it for me? When I am doing my magazine, I'm listening to my music at the same time, and that's no joke. And pretty soon I'm sitting there and I'm like glowing, Carol. I don't know, I can't explain it. Everybody should try an e-zine once in their lives, because or find something that really elevates you, writing a book or a short story, poetry, try something, an artist. You know, I have a column. There's a column now in my magazine for a lady who's in Berlin. We met each other, and I loved her work, and she loves my blues. I like my blues, you know, the blues and the purples. And I started talking to her, and she submitted something, and now she's got her own column. And she said, why? I said, because I wanted to, because I own it, and I can do it. That's why. Okay, she said, thank you. And, you know, so that's what I do. I'm promoting her. I'm helping her. You know, and I love doing that. I just love doing that. You know, if I could wave my magic wand, I'd fix all this mess that the world is in. There'd be no doubt in my mind. But God, you know, thinks, well, you know, Natalie, that wand would have to be awfully big to carry around, and you won't be able to carry it. But, yeah, I love animals and all the little ones. I call them my little boopies, and I love rhinos and calves and pigs and lions and tigers, all of them. I love all of them. I just love all of them. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
that's
it's interesting that you mentioned that, that in the third section of my book, I also talk about resources that people can use to open and then really sustain a deeper spiritual connection. And animals and nature are two of those. There's a great healing in nature. And it doesn't talk to you. It doesn't have an ego. It doesn't judge you. And the same with the animals. So those are two of the resources that we can use. And meditation, of course, is another one. And any sort of spiritual practice can get us out of the rational mind, the monkey mind, it's called. So yes, those are very, very important, and I think even more important nowadays with what we've been going through.
Right.
That people are able to refresh and to look at something that's timeless and eternal, and that is nature. So it is a great resource that is doesn't cost anything, and it's available, you know, to anybody.
I know, and it's all about your thinking and how you view things, and it really is a beautiful world. That's how I look at it. To me, it is, and I'm happy that I could, you know, I meet people like yourself, and I can put things in my magazine, and I enjoy it. And I, when I send somebody the finished work, Carol, and they write back and send me all kinds of hugs and kisses and thank you, doll face. I had one publicist, she said that because I put something in for her yesterday. She said, I didn't know if you were going to do it. And I said, oh, yes, you did. You wouldn't ask because I would have. I mean, I don't, it doesn't matter to me. It really, really doesn't. It's not, you know, it still goes up. It doesn't matter. I can start the magazine 30 days before it goes up. And it's still all sitting there waiting to be the current issue. And I just, like you, though, see, we just, and it's kind of like we've got this great feeling with ourselves that we know what we've done. We know who we've helped, and like you with your books. And I would like to get this last book, I think, this one, Wisdom from the Spirit World. I don't know, maybe I need to get all of them, but I do want to mention before we go your website and that you do readings and your rates are there under services, and it's soulvisions.net. Don't go there and you'll see everything, her books, her CDs, webinars, classes, everything that's there about Carol. And I'm so lucky you came on the show. I'm just so happy it worked out.
Thank you so much for having me.
Pardon me?
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, well, I've never had anybody say no. I mean, a publicist will connect us, you know, like Gavin did. And all I have to do is have them go listen to my show, and I'll send them now because you'll be the last one that I've done, and they're just going to be in awe and say, oh, wow, listen to this. This is wonderful. Listen, Carol is wonderful. You are wonderful. You really, really are.
Thank you. I'm humbled.
And I'm blessed to have you on my show, and like I want everybody to know, you know, I'm just Natalie. I'm not some famous interviewer or anything like that. I just write a personal note to the person that's going to be on my show. It's not automated. I have nobody do it for me. I do it. And I think that's they can feel what I'm about. They know. She's honest. I want to talk to her. And some people, you know, would say, oh, gosh, how do you do this? But look at, you and I have been talking, and the time has just flown by.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I don't have to have a Q&A. I don't have to have any of that. I just talk, and I pull information out and you know, expand on it. And what a beautiful conversation we had tonight. I'm so pleased. And I think I'm going to be contacting you for a reading because I probably would like to contact Maya. I know she's with me. I just know it. She was very important.
Oh, please,
to me.
Yeah, please do. Let me know when you're ready.
I will.
Absolutely.
I will. And you, we have to call for an appointment. Is that what I think you have that on your? On your thing,
yeah.
You have to check.
I really prefer, I don't have a calendar or anything on my website because I would much rather talk to the person to tell them the instructions to prepare for readings.
Yes.
And because people are an integral part of that triangle. So I would much rather schedule by phone. And
yep.
So that's my personal preference. It's much easier that way.
Yes, and that's what I will do. And I mean, you know, I told you I am clairaudient, but I can't do it at will. I can't say, okay, I need to know about this, and then I get the answer. It doesn't happen like that for me. It never has. It just comes to me when I'm least expecting it. Sometimes I'll hear a phone ring, like before Maya passed away. I told you I had the harp, like something, you know, stroked a harp. I knew what it was, I mean, but I didn't think it applied to her. And I'll hear some words like yes, or you know what? I didn't even ask a question, and I get the word yes. So, anyways, that's how it is for me. It's not like you. It doesn't mean that I don't get things. It's just that, you know, it's just here and there, and my mind is so full with all this other stuff, as we know. And Carol's probably nodding her head. Yes, she's just filled with all these things. And sometimes, you know, we don't have the abilities brought to us, or we just don't connect with them because there's other things that we need to be doing that are more important for us, for each person. And, I just know that I'm doing the right thing, and I'm sure you'll tell me in the reading. But anyways, everybody go to Carol's site, soulvisions.net. It's soulvisions.net, and everything is there about her. And she's got these beautiful, it's a flower. No, it's a dragonfly on your site, isn't it?
Should be butterflies.
Are those butterflies? Well, I see there's something coming down. It could almost look like a dragonfly, but they're beautiful. There's my colors. You see that bluish, greenish? That's me. That's my color.
Yeah.
That's my color.
I love all shades of violet and purple. Yes.
Oh, yeah. And your site is like a beautiful light purple, violet, lilac, whatever color you want to call, but it's a beautiful color. Anyways, thank you. You're such a dear. I just love you. I just, I will be contacting you.
You're very kind.
Everybody,
thank you so much for the
night.
Opportunity.
Oh, and maybe we'll do this again. Maybe sometime later in the year we'll be doing this again. I would love to talk to you again.
Okay.
And you're going to love how I end my show, Carol. I always say this, and I'm going to end the show right now, is believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight. Goodnight, Carol. Goodnight, Candy, who's in the chat. She's the one that does all the marketing. She just gets those little magic hands going, and she's very, very, she's great. She really, really is. She did all the work on Facebook and Twitter, and she does Instagram. And I just sit back and, no, I don't just sit back. I don't do that. But anyways, have a good evening, everyone, and I'm going to play Free to Love as I always do. This is Candy. She loves this song, and it kind of makes you be in a happy mood, a little dancing kind of mood, because you're going to hear it. And with that, we'll do that right now before they cut me off the show. Anyways, good night, everybody. Remember, believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. Bye-bye.
If everyone could be who they were really meant to be, without limitations, discrimination, this world could show all its colors. So get the